Chapter 31 Tommy Carter moved the armchair to face the window of the front room, sat down, and waited. He'd expected to be picked up a couple of hours ago. He didn't know what to make of the fact that he hadn't been. D.I.O. Rourke was probably being careful, making sure he had all his ducks in a row. They also now knew that Carter had his house covered by CCTV, and they'd probably correctly guessed that the others would have done the same. The Gardaí weren't going to fall for that trick again, although the tape of Detective Dinny Muldoon assaulting him would still come in handy. When the arrest came, he'd no doubt the officers would be the model of restraint, at least in his house. One of their own was dead. That changed the game. He had barely slept last night, and when he had, his dreams had been fitful and filled with fire. He had woken to find Emer standing in his doorway, looking terrified. He must have been worse than usual. His sheets were sweat-covered, and his knuckles were bleeding from where he must have punched the wall. He assured her that he was fine, and she had gone back to bed. Then he'd sat up, not wanting to return to sleep, afraid to see O'Donnell consumed by the flames again. The job itself had gone flawlessly. He, O'Donnell, and Moran had waited it out in the hole exactly as planned. They'd had just enough room for one of them to stretch at a time. It had been torture, but he'd put up with a lot for 16 million quid in uncut, untraceable diamonds. But the van dump had gone completely tits up, and now he was still trying to work out how. Franco had been driving, with O'Donnell in the back, opening the cases and extracting all the diamonds exactly to plan. They had no intelligence to suggest there were tracers in the cases, but they weren't taking any chances. They had set the incendiary in the van and were transferring to the clean vehicle when the ambush had come. O'Donnell had said it was 3 shooters, all in balaclavas. He'd put down one of his attackers, but he'd been shot in the leg while doing so. Initially, Tommy had assumed the IRA had shown considerably more capacity for surprises than he'd credited them with. Then he'd picked it up on the Garda scanner. The industrial park on Ossory Road. A guard was down. Franco had hit the roof. They'd not identified themselves as Gardaí or made any attempt to make an arrest. Trying to rob a robber. Was there anything lower? Still, thought Tommy, if they'd played it straight, there'd have been a heavily armed emergency response unit waiting for them instead of 3 greedy little pigs. And not even O'Donnell could have shot his way out of that. Franco had driven O'Donnell to the pickup with Skinner. That had been a long-standing arrangement. A text to a burner phone, and then whoever was injured would be delivered to Skinner wherever he specified. They wouldn't even know where the wounded man would be taken. That was for Skinner's protection. He was clean. No known connections to the crew and no criminal record. He had enough army medic training from his time in the British forces to be able to give some field assistance. O'Donnell could lay low there and get better, assuming he was going to get better. O'Donnell was a problem, but not Tommy's biggest. The cops had known where they'd be. Only 4 people, including him, had known that. He'd tried to think of other ways around it, but he kept coming back to the same thing. One of those 4 had talked. The circle of trust had been broken. There was movement amongst the numerous Garda vehicles that were congregated outside his house. Tommy caught a glimpse of a large posse heading up the drive. Someone knocked loudly on the door.
"Come on in. It's open."